My Bible is open to one of my favorite verses. It's one that you may know. It's in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. It's chapter 29 and it's verse 11. The Bible says, and God is speaking to his people, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I like how the New Living Translation puts that. It says this, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Some years ago, my wife and I were missionaries in Uganda, in East Africa. And the motto of the mission that the Lord enabled us to plant, to pioneer, the motto simply was, a future with hope. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. God has a future filled with hope for you. As we open the pages of the Bible and we read through, we discover so much about God, more than I think we can take in a lifetime, even if we live to be very old. For instance, when I look into the scriptures, I find this. I find that God has a plan for you, for your life. And God has a plan for me. And it's nothing to do with race or color or class or creed or how old you are. God has a plan for you. You know something about God's plan? It's very special. God had a plan in place for you before you were even born. How about that? You're not an accident. I was told years ago that I was born before my mother was married in Ireland, where I come from. Oh, that was such a shame, such a disgrace. And I remember years later, my adopted mother was very angry one day and said that I was nothing but a word beginning with B, which means illegitimate. I would never amount to anything. And that my mother, because she wasn't married when I was conceived, she was nothing but a whore. Those were hard words for a young lad to hear. But I'm so glad that, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he says, when you come to know the truth will set you free. And I discovered some words that changed my life forever. And they're in the book of Jeremiah. Remember that I said, God had a plan in place for you and a plan in place for me before we were even born, before we were conceived. We're not an accident. There are no accidents watching Revelation TV. There are no accidents as part of Church Without Walls. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, or I set you apart, and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So God is a great family planner. And God is a God who has a plan for you, a plan for me, before we were even born, before we were even conceived. And something else about God that I want to share with you. God is a gracious seeker. He's a gracious seeker. You know, the first question that God ever asked man was the question he asked Adam in the Garden of Eden. God had given Adam and Eve some very simple instructions, really. But they decided to do their own thing. The devil came along and deceived them into thinking that he knew better than God and they should try what he was advising them to do. And so they sinned. And now God comes in the cool of the evening, walking in the garden, and instead of them running to meet him and greet him and worship him, the Bible says that they run into the trees and they try and hide from God. How foolish. It's impossible to hide from God. He knew you before you were born, and he knows you when you're born. He knows you throughout your life because he's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, and he's omnipotent. He has all power. And the first question that God had for Adam was this. Adam, where are you? Was that because God was saying, Adam, where are you? I can't see you. No, I don't believe that, because God's all-seeing, God's all-knowing. No, what God was after was a response from Adam. Adam, where are you in relation to where I want you to be? Where are you in relation to my plan for your life? Where are you? Such an important question. And the Bible says of King David that David was a man after God's own heart. And David was, I find, he was the seeking king. And the lovely story that I have very briefly for you is found in the book of Samuel. I could say it's one of my favorites as well. It's 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I haven't got time to go into it in great detail. But I would like to lift out a few gems in the time that I have with you on Church Without Walls. I say that David was the seeking king, because in the story it says, he asked the servants round about him, he said, "Is there anyone left of the house of King Saul that I should show the kindness of God to?" Now Ziba was one of Saul's servants, and he was still around. Although Saul by now had died and Jonathan had died, Ziba was still around. And Ziba said this, he said, "Jonathan has still got a son, and that son, he's lame on his feet." Now, I think there's two possibilities there in what Ziba said. Number one, Ziba could have been saying this, "Your Majesty, Jonathan has a son, he's called Mephibosheth, but he's lame on both his feet." Now, there's a man that could do with some kindness. He could do with seeing and knowing and experiencing the kindness of God. But there's another possibility about what Ziba said. I have a feeling, because I've read the whole story, I've got to know Ziba, I've got to know what he was like, and I have a feeling that what he was really saying, well, Jonathan did have a son, his name is Mephibosheth, but you know, he's lame on both his feet. You wouldn't be interested in him. I say that because when you read the story, and I hope you will, you'll find that Ziba was a deceiver. Ziba was a liar. And all that was restored to Mephibosheth through the kindness of King David, Ziba stole it all from him. That's why I think he was saying, "Your Majesty, yes, Jonathan did have a son or has a son, but you wouldn't be interested in him. He's disabled. He's a cripple," we would say in Ireland years ago. "He's a cripple. He can't walk properly. You wouldn't be interested in him." A son lame on both his feet. A son that is disabled. So I hope you'll look sometime at that story about Ziba and find out what sort of a real character he was. But I want now to come back to King David. King David, he asked the question of Ziba. "Okay," he says, "so Jonathan has a son." Here was an important question, very much like the question that God asked Adam in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Where is he? Where is this man that's lame on both his feet?" And Ziba said, "Oh, he's in Lodibar." That's an interesting word. Lodibar, what does it mean? It means a place of no pasture. It means a place of barrenness, a place of emptiness, and no doubt a place of poverty. The king, the Bible says, said, "Go and get Mephibosheth and bring him to the palace." And now we're at the moment when Mephibosheth comes in, and the Bible says he kneels down prostrate before the king, and he feels fearful, because the rule was that when a new king took over, the descendants of the previous king would be killed, would be destroyed. So he came with a lot of fear. He had no idea what was in store for him. And the first thing that King David said to him was, "Mephibosheth, fear not, don't be afraid, because I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And also, I'm going to restore to you all that is rightfully yours from your grandfather. And more than that, I want you to sit at my table here in the palace continually as one of my sons." Now, I know the Bible doesn't say this, and I'm not supposed to add to Scripture, but can I do it quietly? I want to say, wow, because I think that's what Mephibosheth felt. Wow, he couldn't believe his ears. Wow, I don't need to be afraid. That's good news. And neither do you need to be afraid. The God that I serve, the God that the Bible speaks about, is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of great kindness, and He loves you. How do I know? I only have to look at the cross, and the Bible says, God so loved the world, God so loved you, God so loved me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. I have a question for you today, the same question that King David asked about Mephibosheth. He said, where is he? I have a question for you. Where are you? Where are you in relation to where you ought to be? Where are you in relation to the dynamic plan that God had in place before you were conceived, before you were born? Where are you in relation to that? And something else very quickly, Mephibosheth, when he hears all this news, all the things that the king is saying to him about kindness and restoration, and he's going to be at the king's table as one of his sons, he can't take it on board. And he says, why would you bother with such a man as me? A dead dog, someone who's worthless, someone who's useless, someone who's disabled. Why would you bother with me? The simple answer is, why would he bother? Because of love. Jonathan and David had a loving relationship. Oh, it wasn't a wrong relationship. They were like brothers, and they had made a covenant that if anything happened to Jonathan, King David would take care of his family, of his children. And so Mephibosheth is being shown all this kindness because of a covenant and because of love. I have a question for you. How do you feel about yourself? See, Mephibosheth, he says, I feel like a dead dog. I'm worthless. I'm useless. How do you feel about yourself compared with how God feels about you? I want you to see something very important. Imagine now that we're in the king's palace. Here comes Mephibosheth. I'm not being derogatory when I say I see him shuffling in. He might be on sticks. He might be on crutches. Today, perhaps possibly would have been on a Zimmer frame. But here he comes. And he takes his place at the king's table. And you know what? He sits there as one of the king's sons. He's like the child of God, accepted in the beloved and accepted because of the love of the king. But I want to show you something. Can you see a lovely tablecloth over the table? And you know what that tablecloth is doing? It's covering his lameness. I'm calling it the tablecloth of grace. Mephibosheth sits at the king's table, and the tablecloth of grace is covering his lameness. I want to end where I began. God is a great planner. And God is a gracious seeker. And God has had a great plan for you before you were even conceived, before you were born. And there is a tablecloth of grace, my friend, my brother, my sister, my friend, that can cover your past, that can cover your lameness, cover your disability, cover your problems, the tablecloth of grace. And let me say something very important. In Christ, when you and I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, the Apostle Paul says, if any man, if any woman has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what? They're a new creature, a new creation altogether. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. So let me say this. In Christ, you no longer have a past. You only have a future. Isn't that good news? I want to finish with a couple of lines from a song. The lines are, all my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands, for it's only in your will that I am free. Yes, it's only in your will that I am free. God's will for you, my friend, is good. God's plan for you is good. I pray that you will come to know the Lord. If you don't already know him, come to know him as your Savior and your Lord and your best friend. And if once you knew him, but something happened, something went wrong, please, will you come back today? He loves you. He loved you then. He loves you still. And he waits for you, just like the father of the prodigal son waited with open arms. And the Bible says, when he saw his son returning, while he was still a great way off, he ran. This old man ran. And when he met his son, he threw his arms around him. Oh, the scriptures come into my mind, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Let the tablecloth of grace cover your past, cover your sins, cover your lameness, cover your disability, cover your problems. Remember how I said that for me, I had a great problem with family because of how I was conceived and out of wedlock and all of that. And the scripture that set me free was Jeremiah 1, verse 5. And that's where we started. And that's where I end. The truth. Jesus said, you'll come to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth set me free. And now in the closing moments, may I pray with you. Father, I thank you that every person is known to you. They were known to you before they were even born, before they were conceived. Everyone was planned by you. There's a reason for them to be born. And some, Father God, may be disabled. Some may have problems. Maybe like myself, for many years I stuttered, Father. Maybe they have a problem with language. Maybe they have other problems. Father, I thank you that you love them just as they are. And we can come to you just as we are. Just like the hymn says, Father, I thank you, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you that your power is the same. I pray you will bring peace to troubled minds. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring comfort to grieving hearts, and you'll bring strength to weak bodies. And all of these things, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son, to whom I give all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Amen.